Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And today is Thursday, November 14th, 2019. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. How are you doing today?
I'm doing just fantastic. Thank you very much. And so I need to let the listeners know that this program is actually pre-recorded, so we will not have a market report today, but the offices are open, so give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. I'm just not good at these pre-recorded programs, Butch.
Yeah, it is hard to do recorded and not knowing the future, obviously, but I'm sure it's going to be a great program. We have lots of things to share with the people. I think they're going to enjoy themselves and glad they're with us nonetheless.
Absolutely. So, ladies and gentlemen, remember this is pre-recorded. So, what do you have for us, Butch? There's a lot of things to talk about.
Oh, yes. Plenty to talk about. And this first article, again, on the last broadcast, I mentioned the farmers being hit again with the snow and the cold, destroying about half of their corn crop. And it's going to, the farmers have been absolutely beaten into nothing this year. And, of course, with the trade deal and, on it goes. The number one milk company declared bankruptcy amid dropping demand. Now, this is really sad. Now, I am blessed to get fresh milk right out of the cow from a neighbor. I get fresh butter and fresh cream and fresh eggs. I really enjoy that. I don't like store-bought milk because of what is not in it and what is in it. But nonetheless, milk's always been a stable building. We've all just been taken for granted that children have milk in the morning and you had to have milk for your cereal, and it was just something with calcium that's all been driven into us for years. Well, Dean Foods, America's biggest milk producer, filed for bankruptcy Tuesday amid a decades-long drop-off in U.S. milk consumption blamed on changing trends and a growing variety of alternatives. The Dallas company said it may sell itself to the Dairy Farmers of America, a marketing cooperative owned by thousands of farmers. Despite our best efforts to make our business more agile and cost-efficient, we continue to be impacted by the challenging operating environment marked by continuing declines in customer milk consumption, CEO Eric Burgess said in a statement. Since 1975, the amount of milk consumed per capita in the United States has tumbled from more than 40%. Americans consumed 24 gallons per year in 1996, according to U.S. data. That dropped to 17 gallons in 2018. And Melly, the sad part of it is, although I know store-bought milk is not the best for you, fresh is much better. That is a scientific fact. Some of the things that took their place of milk for consumption is Coke, soda pop. I mean, taking the place of milk. Now, milk may not be the best, but it's better for you than soda pop. Do you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I love fresh milk right from the cow. It has to be cold.
I do.
Yeah.
I love it. I do love it. But, you know, for them to lose out to the Coke industry, so to speak, that is really a sad situation. And the parents, you would think, would not want that to happen, wouldn't you?
Well, that's the world we live, Butch, so...
Oh,
but yeah, you would think.
I thought you were going to fix it.
Jeez.
You know, I don't know where I'm going with this one. If you watched anything about Japan, you've seen that the people in Japan literally live in, looks like beehives, stacked on top of each other. You've seen beehives with the little cylinders, you know, the little. That the bees put their honey in and the young ones grow in. You know, they're now stacking apartments about the same size the way they do beehives. And people live in little tiny spaces. Well, that's in Japan, but now it's here. Capsule living, a cheap option for young people flocking to L.A. And why in the name of goodness anybody flocked to L.A.? I have no idea. But anyway, Kay Wilson packed up her life in a hurry and moved to Los Angeles, only to find out what she paid in Pennsylvania for a nice studio apartment will only get her a 2.9 square meter box in California. I said 2.9 square meter, that's a little more than 3 foot, box in California. Her new home is a capsule inspired by the famous hotels in Japan. Wilson arrived a month ago at Upstart, a community for young people with artistic aspirations in need of an affordable place to live. Now, this is ridiculous. It still costs a fortune. Each room contains up to 6 capsules, which Wilson described as cozy. I guess. They contain a single bed, a bar for hanging clothes, a few compartments for storing shoes and other items, and an air vent. By most standards, accommodations...
Lucy, you can breathe.
Yeah, Lucy, you can breathe. Maybe it's just me, but I'm a tiny bit claustrophobic anyway. I would not like that. I mean, come on now, really.
Well, some degree, that's a good idea for the homeless, something like that. A lot of these empty malls and so forth, but I don't know if that's the answer to that. But it does bring take downsizing to a whole new meaning.
Well, you got room for a cot and a bar and a few drawers, and you crawl in bed, you're in bed. You can't get up and walk, you can't do anything because it's...
Is there a community bathroom?
No, I suppose so. It didn't say anything about the bathroom. I'm sure there must be.
By most standards,
there's no place in there to go unless you got a can, I reckon. But anyway, by most standards, accommodations are still not cheap. Now listen to this, Melda. She pays $800 a month. That includes tax.
Wow.
To stay in this capsule, which is slightly more than a 26-year-old was paying in Bethlehem, around 70 miles outside of Philadelphia. $800 a month to live in a 2.9 square meter box in California. Now, I don't want rentals up your way, probably not more than it is here. But a decent home around here, a decent home, will go for $600. A decent place to live in. I mean, I'm talking about a home, not just an apartment, okay?
Two bedroom, maybe. You mean a rental?
A rental, yes. I mean, two bedroom, three bedroom, mobile home, whatever, will go for $500-$600, maybe less. But they're nice on a sitting on a lot somewhere, nice little areas. It's not a box, it's not a capsule. But my goodness, $800 a month to live in a capsule, and it's a bargain. Think about that. I don't believe I would be too keen on that idea. Just my opinion. I was bored. I got a room to all myself. Well, I'm not now married, but anyway, I did one time. Any comments on that?
No, it's just a sign of the times. There's no affordable housing. You know, you have folks who can't make a decent wage. Things are out of reach. I mean, when you have the median home, you're looking at $250,000 or more. Yes, everybody, I'm bringing it back to our monetary policy. So,
well,
what else you got?
As long as we trade in paper, worthless paper, we say it's good because we believe it's good. Somebody gives you $100 bill, you take it and run with it because you just got $100 in your pocket. No, you don't. You have a hundred written on a piece of paper that's backed by nothing. Absolutely nothing. And in a sense, you stole from somebody. If you give them $100 bill for something that's tangible and worth something, you've actually stolen from them. That's an unjust weight measure. But anyway, we'll move on. This lady moved to Los Angeles. Now, listen to this. San Francisco, the new DA, says public urination will not be prosecuted. And they want to move to California. San Francisco's pee problem could soon get worse. Chesa Bolden, the urine and feces plague city's incoming district attorney, pledged during the campaign not to prosecute public urination and other quality of life crimes if he was elected. Bolden declared victory Saturday night after results showed him winning a plurality of votes in the DA office. Now listen to this, because this is, folks, this is a sign of the times in America, not just California. We will not prosecute cases involving quality of life crimes. Now this is what he considered quality of life crimes. I don't get this. Quality of life crimes? Crimes such as public camping, offering or soliciting sex. That's right. You can become a prostitute, but you can't become a punished for it because it's a quality of life crime. You're trying to make a living. public urination, mocking the sidewalk, and said we should not and will not be prosecuted. Belden vowed in response to an American Civil Liberties Union questionnaire during the campaign. Many of these crimes are still being prosecuted. We have a long way to go to decriminalize poverty and homelessness, he lamented. And of course, all the liberal Democrats running for office, like Bernie, is all for this. Oh, we shouldn't prosecute people for urinating and defecating on the sidewalk and blocking sidewalks and being a nuisance to the public and, of course, soliciting sex, selling sex, and offering yourself for sex. Well, they can't help it. They're poor. Millie, that is such a sad picture of America today.
You know, it really is. And, you know, it goes back to, you know, what I was talking about, I don't know, last week or the week before, something like that. It's, everything is just okay to do. They'll redefine it or put it under a category to make it okay. Ladies and gentlemen, it is not okay to wee-wee outside. There, you know, on the street corner when, you know, everybody else is walking by with your children and everything else. It's, I mean, but what do you do? Do you throw them in jail? They used to be fines. People used to get fined. But people didn't do it. You know, at least they went to the back street behind a bush or something, not out in the middle of nowhere. So all of these practices, Butch, anymore, just, you know, it's just accepted. People walk by, shake their head, and move on. Well, it doesn't seem to matter anymore.
It's a sign of the moral decay of America. It's the moral decay of society. And it is not, and that is just adds to the demise of society. And you get people in authority like DA says, well, we're not going to prosecute them. You got people like Bernie running for office who said, well, we should let them do that. And the defecating and the urinating and camping in the street are deplorable.
Yes.
But they say it's okay to swap sex or sell sex to buy food. That's prostitution. I don't care what you call it. That's what it is. And it's acceptable. We're not going to prosecute them for that. And that, of course, leads to more disease. All manner of disease. That's why syphilis is up and gonorrhea is up at the record highs, especially in California, folks. That's why. This type of lewdness, this type of looseness, if you will, loose morals, leads to more evil and more disease. But it seems like the DA and Bernie just don't get it.
They don't have to live around it.
That's true. And I'm certain if a church went out there and started to try to help these people, give them food and clothing, they'd probably be fined by the city for doing it without a permit.
We have
it's
become
many
such
places already.
We have become such a disposable people anymore that even humans have become so disposable, and we don't, you know, what do we do? We've just gotten so big, Butch, and so I'm not even sure
so cold. You know, I mean, we murdered over 100 million unborn babies.
Yeah.
What's a bum doing in the street? Let him die. Let him do what he wants to. Let her die. Who cares?
Who cares? And granted, some of them can't be helped. I get that. Some of them can't be helped. But you have a lot of these, you have the cities who become so cash-strapped. They're so much in debt. I know they close hospitals for people who have, illnesses and that should be in there. And what do they do with them if they close their housings and so they just throw them out on the street? You know, where people used to have maybe a place to go. Some of the churches, they did pick up, you know, perhaps offering meals and so forth. But the cities, states don't help anymore because they don't have the money.
That's very true.
You know,
very
so
true.
It's and why viral. Don't they have it, them? And nobody asks them why they don't have the money. They don't tell them how irresponsible they were. Made bad investments. Promising people more than what they ever knew they could pay. and come through with. There's one thing I just wanted to bring up. This was actually released, I believe, on Tuesday, and I don't have an opinion on this, but I think it's an important story. And with the Supreme Court has allowed the Sandy Hook family's case against Remington Arms to proceed. I don't know if you saw that, Butch.
I did.
And so the Supreme Court has denied Remington Arms Company's bid to block the lawsuit that was filed by the families. The families say Remington should be held liable, so I guess the Supreme Court now, to some degree, agrees with that also. So.
Well, you know, we should be able to sue Ford if somebody runs over my wife and kills her.
Yeah.
Because the guy's driving the Ford, we can sue Ford, can't we? It's the same principle.
Yeah.
It's not the person's fault. It's the tools part. The gun's a tool like anything else. As a car or anything else is.
Well, the thing is, when I was reading a little bit about this, it said that the I don't know how much of this is, you know, I don't know. Like I said, I don't have an opinion on this. I just came, you know, across it and kind of read it. But I mean, I definitely do believe the Supreme Court ruling was, you know, was not for that. But they said one of the main problems was the way Remington had marketed the gun. And I'm thinking to myself, well, how else do you market a gun? You're going to put flowers and, you know, someone in a little tutu and, you know, so, yeah, they marketed it as, you know, as a weapon as it is. So
That's what's made for. It's made for sporting goods, made for hunting, made for shooting. It is. And of course it can be a weapon. But Melody, a baseball bat can be a weapon also, can it not?
Absolutely. Yes, it can. But usually baseball bats aren't marketed that way. But I mean, so I don't know if that's, you know, the thing. But certainly it was, you know, I don't know.
It's just another sad state of affairs in the country. It truly is. They want to blame
everybody.
Well,
I mean, didn't you think, though, that perhaps the Supreme Court would have ruled a little more conservatively on that?
I would have thought so, especially with the conservatives on there now, supposedly. But they keep ignoring the root of the problem, Melody. And we don't have time to get into this. I didn't come on the air to preach today. Without morality, there is no hope for the country. You can outlaw the thing in the country. Without morality, you'll find another way to kill somebody.
Yeah. And we're heading into our break.
The key.
Yep. We're heading into a break right now, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And let's see. We just finished up about the Supreme Court that is allowing the Sandy Hook family's case against Remington Arms to proceed. And I guess on the record, then we can move on to something else. It's kind of surprising. I don't think it should happen. And we were talking during the break, and I says, if they hold the gun maker responsible, then they should make a lot of other people responsible, too.
You said even the people who manufacture the drugs, that people get hooked on. The doctors that prescribe them should be counted also. This passing on the buck somebody else, it's not the person's fault, is a bunch of bull. It's the person's fault that does the crime.
Exactly.
And I can almost understand so they get hooked on drugs because they helped them for a while, then they liked it so much you can't get off that. I can almost understand that. But somebody's got to be accountable, and it shouldn't be the one who give it to him to begin with to help him get over the back pain. But now there has come a time that when a doctor says, of course, enough's enough. But it's always pointing the finger at somebody else. It's not my fault. She called me to do it. That's how it works.
All righty. Anyway. What's next?
World's ultra-rich preparing for market crash, UBS warns. A synchronized global slowdown with no end in sight has spooked some of the wealthiest investors around the world, according to a new survey from UBS Wealth Management seen by Bloomberg. UBS polled wealthy investors who are preparing for a significant stock market correction by the end of the year, next year. In a survey of more than 3,400 high net wealth residents, 25% said they've sold risk assets such as equities, commodities, and high-yield bonds and have transitioned into cash. A synchronized global slowdown coupled with a U.S.-China trade war were some of the greatest concerns of respondents. The rapidly changing geopolitical environment is the biggest concern for investors around the globe, said Paula Polito, client strategist officer at UBS GWM, in a statement. They see global interconnectivity and reverberations of change impacting their portfolios more than traditional business fundamentals and market change from the past. But 80% of the respondents expect volatility to increase through 2020, and 55% believe a market plunge could occur before fourth quarter 2020. Worse, 60% of the respondents expected to raise cash levels in the coming quarters, i.e. they're going to sell their stock. So apparently, according to this article, the people that are, we'll say, the super wealthy know something's coming off, so they're getting out of stock. They're moving on.
Well, yeah, all the signs are there.
They are there.
Them. Yeah.
And these people didn't get to where they are financially by being stupid, did they?
Well, no, a lot of them created the problems that we're in, so yeah, they're ready to bail out. They know what's coming.
It's amazing, it really is, but again, when you see the wealthiest bailing, folks, pay attention. I don't know about you, Melody, but you know, if there come a crash where you and I, or where I couldn't have the funds I've been having coming in for years, if it would just halfway stop, that would seriously hurt me and my wife. Even though everything's paid for, how would I pay for the utilities and the insurance and all that? How would you do that? See, people will stop and think that even though they got debt, and that's all wonderful and all good, and it should be, even though all that is happening, when things collapse and you can't afford to even pay your car insurance, your telephone bill, your power bill, your house insurances and buy groceries and heat, that accounts for most of what I spend now, because I don't owe anybody anything. Everything's paid for. But it still takes me working a lot just to keep up with maintaining what I have. Does that make sense?
You know, it really does. And, you know, I don't think you really appreciate just how expensive your insurances are, your taxes are, even your utility bills. And just like you said, until you have everything paid off and you want to settle down a little bit and retire, you really don't realize when you don't have an income just how big those, or even half an income, or, you know, you cut back in your hours because you want to retire a little bit and enjoy life a little bit. Then all of a sudden, those expenses just seem so much greater, and you really realize just how expensive they truly are.
Well, the inflation, it does go up. Yep. I was talking to my brother.
Yeah, they're not going down, ladies and gentlemen.
No, they're not going down.
It always cracks me up. I get my auto insurance bill, and it says, "Oh, because you haven't had any losses, and because of this, you have saved." $600, and my premium is still higher than the time it was before.
Well, I'm glad you saved that. But my brother, who's a little over a year younger than me, said when he's retired, he was doing fairly well. He said now he's having a hard time making it because over the last 7, 8, 9 years, prices kept going up. They said, well, it's 2% a year. That is a lie.
It's a lie.
It's a lie. It's closer to 10%, maybe more, at least in some items. So, it is, even though you're doing well when you first retire, unless you have some way to keep your earnings up, keep up with inflation, you're going to go in the hole. No way around it. It's going to happen. So that's why you buy precious metals. So when they go up, you need to sell a coin to keep caught up. You can do that. And folks, it's not like putting money in the bank where it's eaten up by inflation every day. Not like putting money in the stock market where it's absorbed by inflation every day. If you got cash in your under your mattress or in the bank, you're losing money every day. Gold and silver coins, although they may fluctuate in value, will never go to nothing. And in my mind, and what I've seen in the past, it's going to go through the roof one day when everything else collapses. So which is safer? Tangible wealth or paper that one day you may start a fire with? Folks, America is not the first one to suffer from this. I mean, my goodness, look over history. Look at Germany. And before World War II, a wheelbarrow full of marks couldn't buy you a loaf of bread. Look what's happened to Venezuela and other nations, Zimbabwe. 1,000,000% inflation rate. Paper, just paper. One day you'll start a fire with that, that's all it's going to be good for. And I don't know how to get you to understand that. If you get your money stored, I got money stored in a gun safe. I got cash in there. I got $100,000 of cash in there. It's losing value every day. You need to put at least half that in some kind of precious metals. That's my opinion. And my opinion, a dollar and a half by a cup of coffee about anywhere. Go ahead, Melody.
Well, you know, even if everything stayed as is for the next 50 years, the price of gold is going to go up with everything else because of the inflation.
Yes, it is.
Now, everybody looks to gold as a day-to-day price. You don't look at gold as a day-to-day price. That's for trading people. That's for people who trade the paper. You want to see what gold does from day to day. But when you buy it and you hold it and you put it away, that is your savings account. And inflation is not going to go down. It cracks me. You know, they'll talk to deflation and all. No, ladies and gentlemen. You know, we have inflation. It's not prosperity. It's inflation. It's a monetary inflation created by, you know, the central bankers and our government. So, and they love inflation. That's the only way they can sustain their debt.
Of course.
So, it's not going away. That's why they can't fix it. That's why... You know, we talked about yesterday. That's why you're not going to see anything fixed.
Very true.
So, you know, so you can, you know, make it harder for you to pay your bills 10 years from now because everything's going higher. So, That's if all stays the same. Now, if it doesn't stay the same, yeah, then you're going to see gold prices skyrocket sooner than later. But you buy gold for the long term, you put it away for your protection, for your insurance policy.
Well, you know me now for a lot of years. Most of the patients that I've gotten from you. You don't see me selling a lot of that back, do you?
No.
Even though the price may fluctuate a bit, I don't panic and sell it back. I wouldn't do that. Because I know what it is, it's there. It's always there. And I can use it if I have to. But I'm waiting for the price to go up to perhaps I may want to sell something that I need or want to do for myself or the family. Folks, it's an investment. It's not an overnight thing where you buy, well, the price went down a dollar, went up a dollar. You need to get out of it. That's not how it works. Anyway.
Well, we talk a lot about retail stores closing, weeks after Forever 21 declared Chapter 11 bankruptcy. It is being reported that its beauty offshoot, Riley Rose, will also be shuttered. Forever 21 said it would close down 178 of its some 500 stores across the United States. But now Women's Wear Daily and Retail Dive reported that Riley Rose, which is a subsidiary of that chain, is going to shutter more. So, again, there's another retail store with at least a minimum of 178 stores closing its stores. And here's a one that I didn't know about, Butch, and that was Best Buy. They have closed, let me bring this up here. They have closed in the Chicago area. Let me see here. Best Buy has closed 18 stores. The moves are part of the Richfield-based electronic chain's annual churn as it reevaluates its store portfolio as leases come up for renewal. From a two-level store along Chicago's Magnificent Mile to a more isolated store in Hutchinson, Minnesota, Best Buy has closed 18 stores in recent weeks, many of which had their last days over the weekend. Didn't hear about anybody reporting on that, did you?
No, not one peep on any news broadcast. That's
all. Yep. So they continue to fall, ladies and gentlemen. And
you would think to the list. You would think the Democrats would be all over that, or the new reporters, because it's under Trump's watch, so to speak. You think they'd be all over that?
Well, we did
retail stores.
We did do a report yesterday on the program about people are looking for an oncoming recession. I think it was 84% of Democrats thought that a recession was around the corner, compared to a 46% of Republicans. So you do see, and it is, the identity of politics, the Democrats, and so you can see them wanting to have a recession because of Trump. So you do see that in other reports and so forth.
Yes. Amen. Well, you would think that they'll be off the news, though. Under Trump's watch, this store
should
be, you would think so. I don't get that. I've often thought about that. Why don't they report this? You and I see it. They don't report it. But I would think that'd be a way to beat Trump over the head if they really were opposed to him. We talked a minute ago about gun control, of course, and what's the Supreme Court rule with Remington. And we know that this past election last week made a big stab, and it will say, on the Democratic Party's behalf. Ralph Northam is the new governor of Virginia. He said he plans to make war on guns after Democrats take Virginia legislature. Now, Virginia Governor Ralph Northam plans a war on guns after Democrats assume their newly elected positions and take control of the state's legislature. Northam introduced a number of gun controls following the May 31st, 2019 Virginia Beach shooting, in which 12 people were shot and killed with guns that were legally acquired. The gun control push failed to survive Republican opposition, but Northam sees hope for more Second Amendment restrictions now that Democrats will be in control. Now, whether that's a sign of what's coming in this country as far as Democrats, Republicans, whatever, and gun control or no gun control, whether it is or not, it's obvious that it made a big dent in Virginia, which is, I can be in Virginia in an hour and 15 minutes from me by any direction as far as the south or east. So this is another sign that perhaps people's mentality are changing for the worse in some areas, and this obviously could be part of it. And if this is any sign of what's going to happen with Trump next year, I'd say that he might be in trouble. What do you think?
You know, I mean, I just don't know. I mean, I don't believe any of the polls that are out there on either side. So, which tells me that it's closer than what I think it is, or what they show in the polls and so forth. I mean, there's a lot of folks out there that, I mean, that will be voting for President Trump. And I see, I saw there was one article that I read. We didn't get a chance to talk about it on the program. I mean, they're trying like heck to change the election, the way we do the elections. There's areas in the Northeast and in New England, I can't remember which city or state it was, to where, you know, they would, when you went to the ballot, you would be voting on the most popular. You would have options, you know, option number one and option number two, and you got to vote, you know, who you liked the best. I don't know if you, I mean, and I'm thinking that they'll just do anything to change it from what it is, you know, from the way we vote today. And so those are just little things that are going on in these little cities and towns and states that it's frightening, because if it gets passed, I think it is, I don't know if it has actually passed, but there was a couple of them. You know, next thing you know, it picks up steam. And then all of a sudden, the way we vote changes. And, you know, it's kind of like taking that, you know, the nativity out of the center square for the town of Rehoboth and all these other places across the country that have removed, you know, Christian symbols and taken down crosses and so forth. Next thing you know, here we are. And it's just like Virginia. You know, I also read when they, you know, when he made the comments about, you know, the gun legislation and going after the weapons and so forth, you know, what happens in Virginia usually travels to the rest of the country. So.
Well, it is what it is. And, you know, the sad part of it is our generation, and I don't know how to say this, is in my mind, about the last generation had any common sense and understanding of things, that the way this nation is supposed to run. Other generations have fallen way short. We're in trouble.
Yes, because we're out of time. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And let's change the topic, Butch. What you got?
Okay, this I thought was interesting. In the provocative Atlantic ask how civil war can be avoided. This cover image, show the cover of the magazine, so the December issue, How to Stop a Civil War. The issue heads to newsstands and the article will be posted online Tuesday. The Atlantic magazine was founded in the years leading up to the Civil War, so it's worth noting when it produced a special new issue on the theme, How to Stop a Civil War. The issue went to newsstands and its articles were posted online Tuesday, the day before the House begins public impeachment hearings on President Donald Trump's timing, fortunate and coincidental. It seemed fairly obvious that a magazine of the American ideas should look hard at the question of whether the country is coming apart. Duh, you think? Said Jeffrey Goldberg, Atlantic editor. Of course it's coming apart. It's part of the plan. It's, by the way, from prophesied by Dimitri Dudeman, is going to happen. But now we have Atlantic magazine saying, how do you avoid a civil war? I don't know, Mel, at this point, how would you avoid it?
Well,
it's tough to answer, isn't it?
Pardon?
It's tough to answer.
It is, and I wouldn't call what I believe we face a civil war. I would think that we're facing just... And you know, I suppose people would categorize that, and I certainly am not encouraging it. I don't want it to happen, but I think it's just more of civil unrest due to our financial situation of this country. People are desperate. People are looking for something to do. People, maybe they're looking for a cause, and I think it's being fueled by D.C. I think it's being fueled by media. So until those two places and, you know, whatever happens to our economy and so forth, change the tune, you still have people on edge. To me, I think of if there's a civil war, you have people that are uprising, they have a cause. I don't think people in today's world have a cause. I think they're just, again, they're angry. Now you could say you have two groups that are angry at each other, but nothing's going to settle those flames down until you have DC, until you have a president, until you have media, all politicians begin to change the way they're communicating. That's not going to happen. We're beyond that, because now everybody, because I think, I hate to say both sides, but basically, for lack of a better way to describe it, you have both sides that have been, you know, just being heated up to a fever pitch, and, you know, it's like the bar fight. You know, eventually, you're going to go to the blows. You know, it'll be all verbal in the beginning, but then it goes to blows. So, That's the only way it can be settled, and then you still have the issue of our economy. And ladies and gentlemen, yes, I do keep coming back to this economy, because that is the heart of it. It's not the love of money. It's the heart of our economy. It's the ability for people to provide for themselves. It's the quality of jobs that we have in this country. I mean, when you don't have, it's so much. Trade agreements with China is not going to fix jobs in this country, because it needs more than just trade agreements.
True.
And if that's all we're focusing on, what's going to happen? As I said, yeah, we're getting the knee-jerk reaction to the possibility of a signing of a trade agreement with China. Then what happens? What's next?
Yeah, well, I'm just what you're saying, and it's true. And even if we went to a civil war, we'll call it, no matter what the outcome, nothing's really going to change. That's the sad part. It'd just be more turmoil.
No, I disagree. I'm not going to call it that, but I think whatever civil unrest that we have, it will change things.
Well, but not for the good, Trump. I mean, not for the good. It's not going to solve the problem.
No.
It's going to make it worse. No. It's not going to make it worse. Anyway, fuel theft rings fill South Florida road with moving bombs. I did not know this was going on. The Florida Highway Patrol provided photographs of specially modified bladder trucks and confiscated gift cards used in suspected fuel thefts. Now, back in the old days, you used to do moonshine that way, have the cars loaded with some special tanks and ready to carry moonshine across the lines and sell it. FHP reports interdicting more than 30 such trucks since 2017, almost always finding that the drivers used stolen credit card information encoded onto gift cards to pay for the purloined fuel. These criminals lug huge amounts of stolen gas across South Florida roadways, hiding hundreds of gallons in modified trucks and SUVs. Authorities referred to the gas thieves and converted trucks as moving bombs because of the hazard they pose if one were to crash and explode. They're out there. They're so common, trying to blame the people who go to work every day, said Florida Highway Patrol Trooper Alexis Antano. God forbid one of these vehicles gets into an accident. And officials say the gas theft has been on the rise. You know, I never thought about that, but it makes sense. Black market gasoline, the price of gas even is now, and it's not record high right now, obviously. But that'd be big bucks. I would assume that's true. They could resell gas, say they sold for $1.50 a gallon, or they saved $1 a gallon. Many people would jump on that with both legs, wouldn't they?
I guess.
I mean, think about that. I mean, they sold moonshine liquor, you know, and made millions on it. What's the difference between gasoline? I mean, people need gas more than they need liquor, I guess. So.
Times aren't any different. Yeah, you're right. Times aren't any different. People are hurting and need money. They need extra cash. So why not?
So there you go. I mean, folks, this is really happening in a country you live in. Now, this different country. Panic, pure panic. Chilean peso collapses to 800 / USD, $800 to a US dollar, blowing through record lows. It's just not America that's collapsing economically. It's and going into turmoil. Not by any means, folks. Spain and Chile and others are doing the same thing. The Chilean peso extended a four-day losing streak on Tuesday, sinking by the most in 8 years to a new record low at 800 to USD. Bearish market and sentiment, political chaos, and a national strike intended to ratchet up pressure on the government and its plans to change the Constitution. This is pure panic, said Felipe Alarcon, chief economist at the Euro-American in San Diego. It's the gringos leaving the country. I mean, it ain't looking good, and not just here, but other places. And it, to go to another further, you know, you've heard of H-U-A-W-E-I. How do you pronounce that, Melody? Huey? H-U-A-W-E-I.
Huawei.
I forgot how they pronounce H's. Huawei gives employees mega bonuses for resisting Trump. Huawei Technologies announced Tuesday on social media that employees will receive bonuses as a thank you for helping it cope with U.S. sanctions and blacklisting by the Trump administration. The Huawei announcement said 90,000 employees could receive up to $3,100 each. That's a big bonus. In 2019, the company and all employees were and are facing extraordinary external challenges, said the internal email staff members first obtained by the Nikkei Asian Review. Upon arrival by the company's president, a special dedication award will be paid. The announcement informed employees that the bonus will be equivalent to their October salary. So they're fighting against Trump and his sanctions, and because they've done that, Huawei's going to give their employees a $31 each bonus. That's not a bad end of year bonus, is it?
No, it isn't. I think it's Huawei.
Huawei. Okay. Huawei. Well, that's how it makes more sense. But
woo woo.
But they have 190,000 employees spread across 170 countries, and over $105 billion in annual revenues. So they're going to give each employee $90,000, $3,100 apiece, because they stood up against what Trump's trying to do. So I take it, like it or lump it, doesn't change the fact they're doing it. And I think that's a good gesture from the company side to thank the employees. Well, would you agree?
Yeah. You know, it's getting the employees involved in a company. And, it used to be called, if you had a great idea and the company implemented it, you got paid for it.
Sure.
You know, so it's, but.
In Hong Kong, folks, it's getting worse in Hong Kong, big time worse. Hong Kong police officer shoots protester at point-blank range while activists set another man on fire after dousing him with petrol as fresh violence erupts after the city's 24th weekend of protests. They didn't show the man being lit on fire, but they did show him standing in a hallway or a store of some kind, being doused with gasoline. Now that is really a sad situation, folks. It's getting much worse. As a matter of fact, according to the Hong Kong police, they said warned that the city is on the brink of total breakdown. I am so surprised that China hasn't moved in and by force quelled this violence. I really am.
Well, that happened the other day, and there were some strong words coming from the government of Hong Kong saying, like, you know, hey, if you think that you're going to be doing this to this government, you know, think again, because we're just not going to allow you to do this. So, you know, hey, we're here. And, I mean, those weren't the words that were said, but, of course, that was the meaning behind it all. So they were given the warning. So we'll have to see what happens this week and this weekend, because it seems like on the weekend is when things get a little bit heated up over there. So so they were warned by the government after the situation that you had just talked about.
You know, that, and I don't know, I understand what it started about, supposedly, six months ago, but why it's still going on and escalating, I really don't know what the point of it is. I don't know. I don't know. The other side even knows now, really.
Well, they were fighting the extradition to China.
Sure,
so
yes.
They were given that, but they had five items that they wanted to get the government to go along with. Well, government went along with the first one, and all the other ones just sort of gotten, put on a sidebar, you know, while they're still out there. So, yeah, then they're either going to have to figure out that, they've lost to the government, or they're going to keep fighting, and some will lose their lives. But, that's where they're at.
That really is sad, and it's going to come to America. Folks, I don't want to discourage you, I don't want to frighten you, but it's going to come to America. It really is. We've seen the recipe here before, especially during the Vietnam era. I remember that with the Kent State University situation. We've seen it here before, and it's going to come back in spades in this country. And Spain's having problems also. Poll brings Spain no respite from political uncertainty. A general election called to end political deadlock in Spain has only deepened uncertainty about the future of the European Union's fifth largest economy and raised the possibility of yet another ballot. The fifth in 5 years. They've had five elections in 5 years, Melody. They're going on that. And no, they had a new party come up. They call it the Vox Party. That's they have the socialists, the liberals, and then they have a conservative party. Another third party's come up. And it's taken 52 seats in a 350-seat House. So it's growing also. So political turmoil and frustration, anger, isn't just here, is it?
No, it isn't. It's all because of the same the same reason. You know, you have all these countries. You have these European countries. You have all these countries. You have the central banks, you know, the government pumping stimulus into the economies. No one's getting ahead. And they all see this. They're all frustrated. They've been infiltrated through immigration, you know, that has lowered. It's the same thing. It's the same reasons, the same thing. And, really the sad thing is China is going in after all these things and making agreements and deals. And, you know, and that's what the U.S. used to be. I mean, We aren't globalized anymore, ladies and gentlemen. And we do need their trade now in the world that we live in today. And whether you like it or not. And that's the difficult part.
There was a time that was a slap in the face, what you said, but it's true, Dave. We can't deny
it. It is true.
Yes, it is.
I don't like saying it, but it's true. So we have to deal with today's problems. We just can't look at the things and say, well, I wish this is the way it used to be. We're not going back there. We're not going to go back there until we hit rock bottom. And then hopefully there's somebody there at rock bottom to help bring us out. But in the world that we live today, that's everything is so interconnected. You know, can people give up their cell phones? No. Can people give up their computers? No. That's what links us all together. That's what I always believed Y2K was all about. Y2K did happen. Just didn't happen the way everybody said that it was going to happen.
It worked just fine, didn't it?
It worked Link just fine.
It did. It surely did.
It wired the world, and that's what they wanted. They created a fear. They made businesses go out and purchase new computers. It propelled the Microsofts, the IT world. It benefited them. Everybody was out buying their stocks.
That's right.
And here you are today. Thank you. We'll be right. Oh, we're at the end
That's
of the
it.
Show.
We're
not going to be back. Oh, darn. Thank you, Butch.
You're welcome, Melody.
And we'll be back tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. We do have James Corbett joining us this week. So with my conversation with him, which I always enjoy. So please stay tuned. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, be safe. Good night. And God bless.
In my dreams, I have a plan. If I knock me, I will be.